Now, as we come to the sixth chapter of Galatians, we are coming now to next to the last major division of this epistle. In fact, we've been in it since we got in chapter 5. We had there saved by faith, and living by law perpetuates falling from grace. That was in the first 15 verses, and this is the practical sanctification by the Spirit. Then last time we saw saved by faith and walking in the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. And that is chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. Now we come in chapter 6 in the first 10 verses, saved by faith, and the fruit of the Spirit presents Christian character. In other words, we saw last time what it means to walk in the Spirit, that this is something we're to learn to do. We should begin. We'll fall on our face, but we're to keep at it. Now, how will this work out? How will the fruit of the Spirit work out in our lives? In other words, let's get right down now again where the rubber touches the road. Right down where it's put in shoe leather and the shoe leather hits the pavement of our hometown. All right, will you listen? He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and who is the man here? Well, it's generic term again. It means any man that is a Christian. It means man or woman. It means, brethren, if a Christian man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, see, meekness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, you see. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. All right, now will you notice this? He says here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. And the word for a fault here comes from a word, parapipto, which means to fall beside. And it is a word that is used, actually, at the time when the Lord Jesus went in the Garden of Gethsemane and said he went a ways and he fell on his face. Same word. And it means more or less like stumble. If a man be overtaken in a fault, if he stumble. And if he be overtaken in a fault, and the word here for fault is a word that means not a great sin. But it may be a awful blunder, but maybe not a great sin. Now, what are we to do with a person like that? The spiritual folk, and a lot of folk think they are, of course, and he says, ye which are spiritual, you that like to point the finger and condemn a person. Now, many of us that are fundamental in the faith, our interpretation of this would be, you which are spiritual, get a baseball bat and try to beat his brains out because he shouldn't have done this and he's wrong. You see, there is always the danger of us, especially when a brother's overtaken in a fault. We don't exactly want to restore him. We want to beat his brains out. We're certainly going to criticize him. And one of the wonderful things that is said in prophecy about the Lord Jesus is in Isaiah 63:9. It says, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Now, I believe the better manuscripts now say this, in all their affliction, he was not afflicted. I like that much better. The Lord Jesus goes along with me, and I'm sure he goes along with you. And when I fall down, and when I stumble and fall, he doesn't stumble and fall. He is not afflicted. When I fall, he doesn't fall down, but he's there by the side of me. And you know what he does? He picks me up, and he brushes me off and tells me to start out again. And it's wonderful to have one. In all their affliction, he was not afflicted. And it says in the Scripture that the Lord waited for these people in the wilderness. And a lot of times they go off on a tangent. You know, he waits for them. How wonderful it is to have that. Now he says, ye that are spiritual, you are to restore such a one. And the verb there is a verb that means to reset a broken bone. Well, it falls down. He breaks his leg. What are you going to do? Walk off and leave him? No. He says, you that are spiritual, you set the broken bone. Get him back on his feet again. I think one of the great preachers of the South several years ago, he had been a drunkard and marvelously converted. And then he got under a great deal of pressure and temptation, and he got drunk one night. He was so ashamed, he called in his board of deacons the very next day, and he turned in his resignation. He said, I want to resign. They said, why? Well, he said, I was drunk. They said, you don't mean it. He said, yes. And he said, I don't think a preacher ought to get drunk, and I want to resign. I'm ashamed of myself. And you know, those were wonderful deacons. There are a lot of wonderful deacons, and they just put their arm around him and said, let's all pray. And they prayed for him, and then they said, we wouldn't accept your resignation. And a man who was present that next Sunday, he said, I never heard a greater sermon in my life than that man preached. You know what these deacons had done? They were real surgeons. They were real doctors. They were setting a bone, a broken bone. And what a wonderful thing it was, you see. That was the time when you should have fired the man. And I can think right now that there's some of you got a lot of risibles on the back of your neck and say, I still think that fellow should have been put out of the ministry. Well, God marvelously used him after that. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one, and how you to do it? In the spirit of meekness. You are to restore him with the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. And meekness, there's the word. You're to restore him in meekness. Why? Well, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It was the great German Goethe that said, I've never seen a sin committed, a crime committed, is the way he put it, but what I too might have committed it. Don't you think that you are immune to what you are pointing your finger and blaming the other brother for? You could have done the same thing that he did. So do it in the spirit of meekness. What a wonderful thing that is.